Chapter 21, Evidence, Judgment, Conclusions and Decisions. We have all heard a great deal and read much about court cases, and many of us have undoubtedly witnessed such cases being dramatized before our eyes. Most of us have undoubtedly seen such court scenes on television, and some of us may even have been participants in real court cases. In such cases, we see a classic example of decision-making in action. If it is a criminal case, the jury has to make a decision whether the alleged culprit is guilty or innocent. They are usually instructed by the judge that if the case has been proved beyond a shadow of doubt, to charge the defendant as guilty. Here is where we run into difficulty. For in the first place, there is no such thing as absolute proof. There is only evidence, and evidence comes in all shapes and forms. There may be scanty evidence, or there might be massive evidence. There might be overwhelming evidence. There might be fair evidence. There might be no evidence. There might be questionable evidence. There might be only hearsay, or the evidence might be damning. It is in evaluating such evidence where the problem arises. Here is where good judgment comes into play. It is extremely educational to hear the two sides of a case being argued by two competent, though usually less than completely honest, attorneys. After one side has made a fervent and eloquent presentation, paraded all their witnesses and overwhelmingly proven their side, we are convinced that this is the way it is. Now, however, comes the other side. The opposing attorney is equally glib, equally eloquent, and equally persuasive. He, too, has an impressive array of witnesses, all confirming their side of the story. So who is right? It is here that the intelligent and discerning jury or judge must sift and weigh each piece of evidence, the plausibility and character of the witnesses involved. The relative weight and importance of each piece of evidence presented. Furthermore, he must, like a detective, put all the pieces of the puzzle together and weight this in the balance against his own experiences and his own judgment, and then come to a conclusion, or better still, come to many conclusions, all of which, gathered together, are finally solidified in reaching a decision. It is similar throughout the entire journey of life. A person is forced to make decisions constantly, some petty, some important, and some that are of such major importance that they will determine the future course of the rest of one's life. The process is very similar to what we have already described in the court case in reaching these conclusions. Probably the worst situation to be in is to be confused and undecided. Some people are perpetually confused and undecided in some areas, especially their religion. The white race is terribly confused about Christianity. The white man's concepts are extremely hazy about the myriad of contradictory claims and bad information foisted upon him by this tricky religion. On most questions, he has not thought it through, nor has he seen through this hoax. He has reached no conclusion, no decision. As long as a person is undecided about a vital question, he is confused. He remains paralyzed from taking constructive action on such vital question or problem. He remains stymied and undecided, not suspecting that Christianity has given him a mass of bad information. The average white man remains confused and paralyzed on this issue for the rest of his life, a most miserable position to be in. Remember, confusion is a paralyzing poison. To remain in a state of confusion is to be deactivated, to be doped. We cannot escape making decisions. Even to avoid making a decision is a decision in itself, and the results can be just as disastrous as making a bad decision. Let us imagine, for instance, you're speeding along the highway at 60 miles an hour, and suddenly a slow truck pulls in ahead of you from a side road. Whether you like it or not, you are faced with a decision. Either you can slam on the brakes, if that is what your judgment tells you to do in order to avoid hitting the truck, or you can swerve to the side and probably run into the ditch, or you can avoid making any decision at all and just keep on going and slam headlong into the rear of the truck. In the latter case, avoiding making a decision was a very drastic decision indeed, a very disastrous one. So it is throughout life. Decisions are thrust upon us daily, and we cannot avoid making them. Therefore, it behooves us that we become adept at making decisions, and most preferably, making good decisions. In fact, the mark of a man of good judgment is one who can, of course, make good decisions. Not only is it a mark of good judgment, but it is also a mark of good character for a man to be able to make decisions, preferably good decisions, and stick with them and carry them out. In making good, sound judgments and correct decisions, nothing is more important than having good evidence and good information. This is the essence of good decision making, of course. If in each case where we were forced to make a decision, we had all the evidence that could possibly be obtained, and if all the evidence was absolutely correct and undisputed, then decision-making would be relatively easy. Unfortunately, however, this is not the way it happens in real life. In most cases, unfortunately, the evidence and the information is rather scanty and incomplete. Much of it is unverified and unsubstantiated. Not only that, but in many cases, it is conflicting and confusing. Let's take the case, for instance, of a young man as he grows up. He reaches an age where he must make a decision about what career he will train for and pursue. There are, of course, endless factors to be considered. There are factors of whether or not he would like that kind of work, whether or not his capabilities and talents lie in that line, whether or not the remuneration would be adequate for the standard of living to which he would like to become accustomed, whether or not world conditions might change, so that his trade, avocation, or profession might suffer a drastic change, and so on. No matter how exhaustively he studies each one of these different questions, and tries to pursue each path to its bitter end, presumably he will never have all the information and all the conclusive evidence needed to make an absolutely infallible decision. The same thing would be true in making the decision as to whom he is going to choose for his mate when he decides to get married. He could, of course, spend the rest of his life sifting, weighing, and pursuing further details of evidence to help make up his mind and finally die of old age and a bachelor in the process. And herein lies the true secret of decision-making, that is, to know what information to seek, what evidence is important, what evidence is plausible, and what is not. When to pursue the search further for more evidence and details, and when to decide that sufficient evidence is on hand to make an intelligent judgment, and upon that judgment to come to a decision. Undoubtedly, in many cases, as for instance, the truck in the path of your speeding car, you cannot wait forever to make a decision with the evidence at hand. In some cases, on the other hand, hasty decisions are made when they need not be made at all at that time. A person might easily have waited and not burned their bridges, instead leaving options open, depending upon the unraveling of further events. A suggested guide, therefore, in decision-making is 1. Don't let a decision be made for you by default, since in some cases, time is of the essence, and a decision must be reached within a specified time. In such cases, it is much better to make a decision, even though there may be danger of making a wrong decision, than making no decision at all. There are many times in our life when the worst decision we could have made is to have defaulted by making no decision. Therefore, make your own decisions, or someone else will make them for you. 2. Decisions should be based on evidence, the best possible evidence you can obtain. They should not be based on garbled thinking or wishful thinking. The fact that the majority is agreed on the acceptance of a certain concept should not influence our decisions. The majority has been, and is today, wrong about many things. For instance, in the Middle Ages, most of the people of Europe believed that the world was flat, not round. The majority believing so did not make it flat. It was just as round then as it is now. The overwhelming majority was just simply wrong. They are mistaken today about many other things, including the Jews and about Christianity. Even in matters of the emotions, such as love, marriage, hate, preference, these two are pieces of evidence and should be weighed and analyzed with the same objectivity as any other evidence. Honest emotion is also a factor in decision-making. There is a vast difference between making a decision on what your emotions are about something and basing a decision merely on the fact that you don't have a hunch or a feeling that such and such is so, when you really don't have any information or reason to back it up. 3. Insist on all the cold, hard evidence that you can get about a question. Don't settle for unfounded hearsay, stories, myths, and even outright lies. Herein lies the important criterion, being able to differentiate between substantiated facts and those that have, many times, generally been accepted as facts, but are really based on myth. 4. Be able to distinguish in your own mind that which you know and that which you believe, but don't really know. It is remarkable how many people cannot distinguish one from the other, confuse one with the other, and make decisions as readily on the basis of things that they don't know as they do on things that they do know. Again, the significant criterion is evidence. It is a matter of distinguishing between fact and fancy, reality and unreality. It is therefore of tremendous importance to draw a clear distinguishing line between that which is a presumption, an allegation, or a commonly accepted belief on the one hand, and a firmly substantiated fact on the other hand. We of the Church of the Creator deem reality as 1,000 times more important than the realm of fantasy as a basis for our conclusions and decisions. In attempting to make judgments about religions, past and present, in finding better ways and means of spreading creativity, in making decisions in life in general, and especially in pursuing the fight for the survival of our race, we might do well to keep these ground rules in mind.